Kentucky goes one and done in Nashville, but you got to feel pretty good about the seed in the NCAA tournament. We're going to have those conversations today on the Wildcats Today podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Stefaniak, writer and editor over at Wildcats Today, joined as always by Carson Nash and special guest, Big Mike. Michael Collins is in here with us today to break it down. We were all in Nashville this weekend. Anything eventful go down that y'all want to share? Were any towers built? Anything like that?
No? Yeah, I mean, the person in the upper left corner seemed to have a really, really good night.
We built a tower out of cans. Mountain Dew. It was fun. It was great. A bunch of soda cans, a couple Dr. Peppers in there. But now we had a great time, but Kentucky did not. Goes one and done with the second loss of the season to Texas A&M. A game to me, and I had to pull up the numbers in this game, but it felt like every time Kentucky got a little bit of momentum, A&M got a big basket on the other end. And Carson, you were in the arena. Mike was not. You were there in Nashville, but not in the arena. The atmosphere was insane. One of the best atmospheres I've seen. I mean, it was incredible. So, Carson, I mean, tell me your thoughts on the game. And then are you concerned going forward, whether it's defense, whatever? Do you have any concerns moving forward?
Yeah, so you were right about the atmosphere. I mean, I got in around like 1:30 on Friday, and it was just blew everywhere. There was so much buzz in the air. You could feel the excitement just arriving in Nashville. But yeah, we kind of laid an egg, and it did have a lot to do with the defensive side of things. And we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but I'm not super worried about that. Our defense is going to be our defense regardless. Yeah. I was more worried about the uncharacteristic turnovers that we were having, more than anything on the defensive side of the ball, because I think those also translated into free points as well. Yeah. And I think you really just need, I think DJ needs to take a step back in terms of play time, compared to Reed and Rob. I think you're going to have to just lock your rotation in for these upcoming games. And I think Reed and Rob and Reeves are going to have to take the majority of the guard minutes. And that's what I would like to see going forward.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on that. I mean, so Mike, what did you see, you know, in offensive rebounds? Any thoughts there? A&M, this is a fun fact, 26 offense. They had 13 offensive rebounds that turned into 26 second chance points, which is absurd. But Mike, what were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I mean, offensive rebounds, that's a big momentum switch. I mean, there's a lot of 50-50 balls that just – they didn't necessarily bounce our way. And I don't know, it's – there's some things that you can't control, and where they're bouncing off the rim and stuff, it seemed like they just really went – the Texas A&M players, they were just always in the right spot at the right time. And it was unfortunate. I mean, you can blame the refs all you want, but in the end of the day, like, it's not going to be the difference in the game.
You could tell that it was them fighting for their last chance. Their last game. You
know? They had to win that game. I mean, I don't think they make the tournament if it's not for that game.
Yeah.
I think that Cal's right. I mean, he said it the past few years, the SEC tournament or any conference tournament doesn't really make a difference on the bracket as far as the top four seeds go. You know, maybe Texas A&M was playing for their life, but we were already selected as a 3 seed before the tournament even mattered or even happened. So, like, I don't know if it really mattered that much. I mean, you see Tennessee lose the first round. They're a 2 seed. UCS lose the first round. We're a 3 seed. And then you see Texas A&M slip in there as a 9. You know, they could have been out if they lost in their first game against who was it, Arkansas?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or
no, it was against Ole Miss, yeah.
And yeah. Then, you know, like, I think Auburn goes, wins the whole thing and doesn't move. Like, that right there shows you this doesn't matter. Kentucky staying as a three seed, Auburn winning the whole thing and not moving up from a 4 seed, SEC tournament does not matter. No. And now, am I saying, hey, Coach Cal, go lay an egg? Who cares? No one cares. No, there was, you know, and Carson, you tweeted it. Whatever you tweeted after the game, something like, you know, people, we deserve better than that. And that's true. I mean, while it doesn't, at the end of the day, let me ask you this. We won a national championship. Did either of you all care what happened in Nashville this weekend?
No, back in 2012, we lost to Vandy. Who remembers that game? I mean, I remember it because I'm a big fan, but it's not like I really care because we won the national championship that year.
Exactly. No, and that's the whole point is, like, it doesn't matter. Rings are cool. Banners are cool. But Kentucky doesn't need another banner for an SEC tournament. They don't need another one of those. You know what I mean? They need number 9, not a SEC tournament. Now, I'm not saying, hey, Cal, let's go lay an egg. I'm not saying that that should be the goal. But I am saying no one's going to care if this team goes on a run. But I will say I do want to talk about, and Mike, you talked about 50-50 balls, and you're exactly right. And Carson, you talked about DJ's minutes. But to me, the defense, I really want to get into that. The defense and rebounding was a part of it. And 50-50 balls was a part of it. But Boots Radford did the same thing that he did in College Station in Nashville. He said, I'm going to put my head in the ground and I'm going to go to the rim. Now, Wade Taylor was draining threes, and that's a different story. But Boots Radford just said, I'm going to the rim. No one can stop me, and no one could. So what are y'all's thoughts there? Carson, you go first. I mean, what are your – is this a concern for you long-term, or do you believe Cal's going to figure something out?
I think there's definitely an area to be concerned about. But I also think Texas A&M played the best game they've played all season.
Yeah.
I mean, they were having people who don't hit threes. They're hitting like 5 threes. So, like, hey, Texas A&M clearly brought their A game, and rightfully so. I mean, they needed it. But I do think they need to step it up. But now there's going to be more of like a fire, I think, after laying an egg like that. So I think our defensive intensity will definitely step up. And they're not gonna want to get eliminated from this tournament. So I honestly didn't see as much of a fire out of our team as I would have liked to see. I think we kind of came in like, it's Texas A&M. We're kind of playing for Sunday. And they came in as, of course, they needed that. They needed to make the tournament. So honestly, I'm not super, super concerned about it, especially now in the fact that I think we got a pretty good draw, so I'm not super concerned about our defense.
Yeah. Mike, what about you?
I was going to say, back to that point we were talking about, does Cal even get the guys up for this game like he would for an NCAA tournament game? You know, ever since the Texas A&M, when we beat them in the SEC championship game back in, it was like 2017, I want to say.
Yeah, Jamal Murray's.
Tyler Ulis and Jamal Murray. We beat Texas A&M that year. And we ended up being a 4 seed, and A&M ended up being a 3 or 2 seed. And that was like kind of the first year Cal started talking about the tournament doesn't matter. And ever since then, he hadn't got the guys up for it. And I don't think we've won one since then.
No, and I remember it screwed us over too, because Texas A&M got like a super high seed in a easier bracket. And we were the 4 and had to play against Indiana in the second round, ended up losing.
Indiana in the second round, and then I think the 1 seed. Well, I don't remember who the 1 seed was, but I remember them being top 1 seed or something like that. So ever since then, he really hadn't got the guys up for it. And I think that, I mean, we haven't made too much of a run since then in the NCAA tournament, but like, I think he'll get the guys up for it differently for this. I mean, he'll have them in the position to where, like, you know, you don't want to lose it. For that, he may have had that fire.
Did you happen to see the video of when they were celebrating when they got their name called, but Rob was not?
Oh, he. Cameron said that to me. I don't want to play Kentucky. I don't want to play Kentucky after that.
No, Coach Cal in his post-game comments, he did. He did apologize to fans, which I like that. He was like, it was not our best showing. I really apologize to everyone who came down here. It wasn't like us. And then he was like, but I promise you this team's going to fight. And he said we had guys in tears in the locker room. So if you don't think this team's gonna fight, I don't know what you're watching.
Losing's not fun. I think you two figured that out the other day at the YMCA when we played basketball.
All right.
And even though, and Carson was giving me buckets, I'm gonna be honest with you. But at the end of the day, the other team won. Cameron played well. I played well. I'm kind of that guy when it comes to on the hardwood. But I agree there. I think we move on to the way that the bracket shaped up. But first, we also, you know, want to say, hey, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. It really helps the show. Really appreciate y'all doing that. Hit the like button. Helps grow the channel. We'd really appreciate y'all doing that for us. But let's get straight into this bracket. I wrote an article at Wildcats Today breaking it down, saying, you know, I think, and it was funny, Mike, I used the word you, I used the word that you did, favorable. I think it's a, was it perfect? No. Is there a perfect bracket? No. But I the Marquette as a 2 seed, take it all day long. I think our path to the Sweet 16 is very, very manageable. And then let's say you play Houston in the Elite Eight, assuming both teams get there. You're not going to play an easy team in the Elite Eight. You're not going to be playing Stetson in the, you know what I mean? Like,
if you're playing someone in the Elite Eight, both teams are going to be playing their best basketball.
I was going to say, even if, like, St. Peter's, when they made it to the Elite Eight, they kind of laid an egg in the Elite Eight. But at that point, it's like they're playing better ball than anybody, or just as good as ball.
Exactly. And so, and that's what I've seen. Now, would I have preferred our one seed to be Purdue? Of course. Yes, that'd have been much better. But I still just don't see a world where you're happy with an Elite Eight matchup, you know? And so Houston, we'll get into, you know, that, but I mean, we're going to try and take it one step at a time here. But I mean, what are y'all's thoughts on the bracket as a whole, who we play this weekend, who we play if we win? So Carson, thoughts on the bracket?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a favorable draw. I mean, in the first round, you got Oakland. I mean, they're a lower seed. Their tallest player is 6'9". So, I mean, we're going to have the size advantage in that one. And then if you win, you got either Texas Tech or NC State. NC State played really good. They ended up winning the ACC. They beat North Carolina. Yeah. Their big guy, Burns, is pretty good. But I don't think I don't think.
That's Carson like at the YMCA. Was Carson hitting those step back fadeaways on me all day.
Yeah, he's really good. But I don't think they're going to be too much of an issue. And then, of course, you got Marquette. Or, in my opinion, I think it sucks that Hanlogged and got hurt. But I could have seen Florida. I could have seen Florida going to play us in the Sweet 16 instead of Marquette. Mm-hmm. I would take Florida over Marquette right now. Mike?
I was going to say that 7-10 or the 10-10 matchup, that first four, you know, one of those teams seems to always make a run. So we might find one of them in the Sweet 16.
Yeah. But, and then the top half of the bracket, I mean, Duke's not very good. They're the 4 seed. I don't think they're very good. So I don't think they'll make it to us. The sleeper team in our bracket, in my opinion, is none other than the Texas A&M Aggies. Texas A&M can make some noise.
People are drinking the Kool-Aid on Texas A&M right now. I've seen that all over. Who was it?
Wade Taylor is a baller.
Nebraska's never won a tournament game either.
He was hollering stuff. The media seating at the NCAA tournament is courtside. So I was, you know, sitting there. He was hollering some stuff at folks. Wade Taylor was letting people know. He said he was standing on the business, as the young kids say nowadays. And – yeah, no, that was impressive. I don't want to play him again. No, thank you. I don't. I mean,
I would play him in the Elite Eight. Playing him in the Elite Eight, I'd be happy.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. But it's like beating a team three times is so. I know we say that about football, or beating a team twice in football, it's hard to do. But beating a team three times is just. I mean, that's hard to do. Like, you know, so
especially being an underdog every game, you know, not in the first place.
But no, I mean, they're hot. They were that, you know, Florida, they had some uncharacteristic guys hitting threes away from, I think, Texas A&M playing Auburn in the championship game. So they're hot. I agree with you on that, Carson, that they're a sleeper. But I mean, Mike, what are your thoughts on this bracket and the way it sits?
You know, I think we got a favorable draw, as you said that. But Marquette, I mean, they could be a good team if Kolick comes back. I was watching them at the beginning of the season, and they're a completely different team. I mean, he's an elite scorer, and it just depends on if he comes back. But if he doesn't, which I don't know, we haven't heard any news about him yet, have we?
I haven't seen anything.
I haven't. Okay. I mean, that could be an early Western Kentucky could come in there and beat him. But I'm not going to say they're terrible. I mean, they're a 2 seed for a reason. I think the Big East is a solid conference, and the fact that they only got 3 teams is kind of crazy. But I think that Marquette, I mean – we're not going to get too far up. We want to worry about Oakland first. Their tallest guy is 6'9", and their highest scorer, he's a 6'6 forward. But I think he's listed as a forward, but, I mean, I'm not over here watching tape, but based on the statistics, seems like he kind of plays more like a guard. kind of like a Justin Edwards. You know, he's listed as a forward, but he plays more like a guard. So we'll see who matches up with him. I want a do on him, obviously. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm excited for it. It's March.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's a good point, Mike, about the – I watched a little bit of tape on that Townsend kid, and he does play like – he plays a kind of a three, but it's funny. In college basketball, 6'6 is even small for a three, in all honesty. I mean, like, you know, you see a lot of 6'6 and 3. Yeah. So, you know, this is a small team. So here's the question, and we were going to talk about this. This is a little bit, you know, Cal's tweak. Coach Cal supposedly has a tweak, and he wants to maybe put in 2 7-footers. So the question I have for y'all is what do y'all – how do you play against Oakland? Now, against – because we want to take this game by game. Does he use that against Oakland, or do you go small ball and beat them with a small lineup? So what are your thoughts on that? Carson, you start. What do you think about – what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, see, I'm torn because I feel like it could be positive. Well, in my opinion, you have to play Z at the four. If you're going to play two, Z has to play the four.
Yeah.
And the other one, it probably should be Hugo. If we're playing two bigs, I would say Hugo and Z are the two guys. And I would play Z at the four. You could do it for Oakland just because of the upside and like rebound. I feel like you could get a lot of offensive rebounds because you're going to be way big. I mean, Z's like 7'3". So compared to, and he has the super long wingspan. I mean, you're going to be able to get a bunch of rebounds on them, but Oakland also likes to run a 2-3 zone. So you're going to need shooters out there at all, pretty much every position. Cause I think if you play small, you could run Trey at the five and have Trey in the middle of the zone and run and have him pass. Don't shake your head like that. We could put up 140 points on a 2-3 zone.
He played better, though. Trey played better in Nashville.
I think you could put a do at the five with these guys.
That's what I would do. You could
put a do at the five, but I'm saying if you want just your straight-up scoring lineup to take out a 2-3 zone, you put Trey at the five. And then you just have a bunch of guards around him. You have Rob, Reed, Reeves, and Justin in there. And then you have Trey at the five, and then they won't be able to guard that.
And they're not big enough to stop it. We're still the bigger lineup with that.
I think it'll be interesting to see, like, to look at, you know, what is Kentucky's identity going into the tournament? Our identity is that we score a hell of a lot of points, okay? But where do those points come from? Our guards? Do we want to just match up with this team down to their playing level, but like just say we're so much better, we're going to play with your size and just cook you and put up 110 and it doesn't matter that they score 88 or whatever they might score? Or do we do this two big man, or does Cal try it out with like 13 minutes to go in the first half and then they go on, they hit like 3 threes in a row and he's like, well, yeah, that was fun. Yeah. Or does he, you know? Well, it'll be interesting to see what he does with that.
Yeah. I think they're going to be chucking up a lot of threes. They have one guy on their team that his name's Jack. I don't really know the good pronunciation.
Golkey.
Yeah.
I have the numbers on him. Say what you're going to say, and then I have
one. You give the numbers because this kid only shoots three-pointers.
Yeah. And I forget the number. I do have –
He's 35% on the season, so it's not like he's crazy good. But what does he shoot a ton of them?
He shoots 37%. I have here, but let me pull up this number. This is really absurd. So there's a stat that he has shot. Let me tell you right now, he has shot 327 threes on the season, which is good goodness. For second most in college basketball. He's made 121 of them, 37%. That means he averages shooting 9.6 three-pointers a game. And the stat that's crazy, Carson, this is what you were getting ready to say. There is something where it was less than 10, but I forget what the number was. He has only attempted, I think, like 6, 7, or 8, one of those three numbers, I believe, non-field goals that weren't three-pointers this year. He only shoots three-pointers, and he's going to shoot about 10 of them. So that was what I was going to say. I just – I'm I, it just it freaks me out. I yeah, do not great. Like people like that because he could come
eight
in.
Shots that aren't, he's got eight
you
shots.
Who he reminds me of?
Exactly. Eight shots.
He reminds me of Fletcher McGee.
No, thank you.
If anyone yes. Blast from the Past, Wofford guy.
Wofford, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. What was that on the Tyler Hero team?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, because that was –
I'm pretty sure it was. He had his worst performance of, like, his career.
Well, let's hope that's the same with this guy.
Mm-hmm. But
we don't want to be on the butt end of this guy's
– Well, I mean, you also got to look at it this way. Like, he plays for Oakland, who I don't know which conference they're actually in.
Horizon.
But they're not going to be playing against the athletes that the SEC has normally. So it's a lot easier to get a shot up in that – conference than it would be in the SEC. So
now I don't know where this guy transferred from, but his stats only go this season, and it says he's a senior. So I'm wondering if he was like a D2 or D3 transfer.
I noticed that. I looked that up. Our buddy Cameron likes to put a dollar on about like he bets on like 30 teams to win every night. Puts a dollar on it to win like $82 trillion. And he like knows everything about all these small teams. And we were watching Oakland the other day, and we actually heard that stat about this Golkey kid, about he's only shot like whatever eight, you know, we heard that stat. And I looked him up and I saw the same thing. So I don't know where he came from. And I looked it up. I think that his stats on ESPN just aren't right because he has stats on the Oakland website. I think that they just have him messed up. But and he's 6'3". So, you know, it's not like we're talking about a 5'8" guard here. He's a taller guy. He can shoot it, you know, of course. But this team also, they don't shoot a lot of threes as a team. He shoots a lot of threes. They shoot just barely more threes a game than Kentucky. I think their number was like 24. So, you know, they're not out here. They're not Alabama. They're not shooting 30 a game. They're shooting about 24 a game. So they like to score with Townsend inside, even though he can, you know, score from outside as well. But Golkey, you know, when he's got the ball, it's like it's gonna be like Hubbard at Mississippi State. When he's got the ball, you gotta have hands in his face. You can't give him any space or he will shoot him. And you know, like I said, he's shooting about 37%. He's gonna make them some. And he shoots a lot. Shooting 37% for how many he shot is pretty impressive. I still think if Reed Shepard shot that many, he'd be shooting in a number like probably still 45% because he's somehow. But so those are my thoughts on this game. This is what I want to ask you. How does Kentucky win this game? Do you think they win it in, they blow them out and it's, we score 110, they score 85, but it's a blowout? Do you think some defense shows up and Kentucky scores 90 and they score like 67? Like, how does Kentucky win this game? Do you think, how is it kind of going to look? So Carson, what are your thoughts on that?
I think we're going to do it with offense because I just – if they're going to play a 2-3 zone, I just do not know how they're going to stop us. I really don't. We would put up 120 points on them if they play a 2-3 zone. So I just don't see – and you said they don't shoot a lot of three-pointers, so I don't see how they'll be able to stay in the game. Now, it's different because it's Kentucky, so they're going to be shooting more three-pointers than they normally do to try to stay in the game and, you know, Cinderella, March Madness. The threes will come with them.
They'll shoot 30.
They'll shoot a lot of three-pointers against us. But you kind of just got to contain Townsend. And other than that, the biggest thing is you're going to have to use your size to limit their offensive rebounding. So if they're not able to get any – if they're at five or less, like second chance points, which I think could be possible, I think there's no shot that they can beat us. So I think that's the biggest key is to keep them off the offensive glass. If they're not getting second chance shots, then there's no way they can beat us.
Yeah. I looked it up. They've played four teams, and then I'll get your thoughts, Mike. They've played four teams. They played Ohio State, lost by 6 points, opened the season. They played Illinois, who just won the Big Ten championship yesterday. That they won that game. They lost that game, by 11 points. Illinois won by 11. And then in December, those were back-to-back games, Ohio State and Illinois. Then they played Michigan State and lost 62-79. And then they played Dayton, another tournament team, lost that one 91-67. So they've played some legit teams. I mean, that's what is that?
And they did beat Xavier early on in the season, which
yes, Xavier, like, beat Xavier.
Big East team, but still, I mean, they're a Power Six basketball team.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right about that. But so, I mean, Mike, what are your thoughts on that question I had a moment ago?
Yeah, I mean, the key to winning, I think, you know, outscoring them, obviously, you have to score more points than them. But, you know, you just go into it knowing that you're the better, you know, the higher talented team, and, you know, you'll get your steals and your fast break points. If you know, you get 15, 20 of those, not steals, but fast break points, and then you just keep the offense, like, high power.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think?
I mean, I just would be really frustrated. And we're to the point in the season where it's like, just, hey, shut up and enjoy it. But it's like, if this team, if we score 108 and they score 90, like, I know that's the way this team plays. And maybe I should just accept that. I should just shut up and accept it. But it just, you can't give up 90 points to this team. You just can't. I think you need to win this game something like 95-68. I mean, like, I think you need to blow this team out of the water, hold them down defensively, send them
95 is still a lot of points.
For us?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm talking about, I'd like it if we scored a lot of points, but I'd also, if we score 110 and they score 68, that'd be great. I just think I would, and I agree. I'll never forget one of the first games of the season, the team played a 2-3 zone and Kentucky had a great offensive day. And I remember in post-game interviews, the players were like, yeah, we love a 2-3 zone. Please play a 2-3 zone. We'd love it. Just please keep doing it. I forget what team it was.
Was it Miami or
no? It was Miami. I know it was Miami. Yeah, it was Miami.
Yeah, because I remember Trey Mitchell was talking about it.
And they scored right on the number, 95.
Yeah.
95-73.
Please play. Miami
turned out to be not very good, but we did well against teams that played the 2-3 because you can't really guard the – well, it's meant to guard the 3, isn't it? It's meant – or like what is –
It's meant to stop penetration.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's why people kind of want Cal to start playing zone, is because we're getting beat off the dribble so much. It's meant to stop penetration. But, I mean, it's very easy to beat when you have great passing bigs and guys who can score at every other position. So,
yeah, a passer like Reed Shepherd that can just find the open man and then he gets wide open, or Reeves off ball, he gets wide open. You know, just if it's 2-3, you just have to have constant off ball movement.
Yeah.
Be good.
And having big guys who can pass the basketball. Trey Mitchell, Adu, Big Z. You go, I don't know, you know what I mean? You go, that's not really who he is. But the rest of those guys passing the basketball, you know, if you get it to them and they don't like their look, someone's open somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, pick it out for a three. Having threes that can pass the basketball helps too, or having bigs that can pass the rock helps. So, I mean, that's my thoughts on it. So, I mean, fellas – anything else about the bracket, about the draw, about the SEC tournament? Carson, you got any other thoughts?
Not really. I mean, I'm not going to talk about it much, but I was very frustrated with the officiating, and there could have been a conversation about it, especially with Oglesby. He's already been looked at, or I don't know if it was Oglesby. The mid-court ref. He had already been investigated for cheating, so I don't know why he's even out there. But other than that, I think we get this done against Oakland. I'm just gonna take it game by game, but I think we get it done against Oakland.
Yeah. I'm with you, Mike. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just thinking that we score a lot of points on them, and we just got to make sure. I mean, it's not something that you can totally control. But games where Antonio Reeves gets into foul trouble early messes up the entire rotation.
That's a good
one. So as long as he stays out of foul trouble and we're able to have our rotation pretty much on a normal basis, I think we'll be able to easily beat this team by 20. But, you know, as long as we win, you move on. But you want to have that first game to be like a confidence booster. Mm-hmm. And the people around your, like, individual bracket and the whole entire thing to be like, okay, Kentucky's coming to play. You know, you want to go into this first weekend, beat the first team by 20+, and then, you know, you either play a 6 team or a 6 seed or an 11 seed. And those are solid Power Six teams normally. You know, it'd be like playing, well, Florida, I guess. It's one of those out of another conference. And you want to go into that game, win by 10, 15, and just have the confidence going into the second weekend. But,
yeah,
you know, we talk about what we want. We just want to win, okay? We just want to get to this next game. We just want to keep March alive because March is not the same when Kentucky loses. It's not. Yeah.
The views go down for sure.
I don't care if they win by a point or if
They lose at least one, two, and three from us three. So,
yeah, exactly right. But, you know, I don't care if they win by a point. I don't care if they win by 30. I just want them to win. That's what needs to happen. So, fun weekend of basketball coming up. Everybody fill out those brackets. Carson, we should make like a Wildcats Today bracket pool. We should figure that out.
We should. And then
we'll make that happen.
Join it. And
yeah, we'll put the link. We'll put the link in the.
We'll make that. We're going to make that happen. We're going to make that happen. But that's going to do it for today's show. Thanks, Mike, for showing up. Carson, as always, for being here. We'll be back to do something of some kind before, maybe preview this Oakland team more, do some more deep diving into them. But once again, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. It really does help the show a ton. So we appreciate that. Hope everybody has a great rest of their day today, and we will see you next time.